Welcome to Didn't See It Coming, the podcast about brands that learn from the past, are looking to the future, and are profiting because of it today. I'm your host, Mark Stoiber.
A few years ago, I was at a conference, Sustainable Brands, in Monterey, California, and I met this fellow who I thought had cracked the code on making sustainability communications work. Now, working in communications around sustainability, one of the biggest problems we have is getting people who see the world differently to appreciate that it's important to do things like recycle and drive less. And I met this fella, John Marshall Roberts, who'd written this book, Igniting Inspiration. And it was all about worldview thinking and how to understand how people see the world. Fast forward a few years, I'm writing my own book, Didn't See It Coming, and I'm stuck. I did not know what to write about. So I called John up, and it turns out he is working on a new concept called the voice code and writing a book himself. And in a couple of sessions with John over the phone, he actually has me break down all these barriers that are preventing me from writing the book that I should be writing. So long story short again, I get the table of contents cranked out in record time and go on and write my book. So now, John has launched the voice code, and I was lucky enough to be able to grab him on the phone in between book signings and speaking tours. John, welcome.
Thank you for having me, Mark. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you. Let's go right back to the start when we met. You were championing a process whereby we could help get into the heads of people who didn't think like us. It was all about worldview thinking, and I still love that. And I think it really, really exposes a big barrier to clear communication, which is not understanding the person who's listening to you. Can you just go through that for our listeners?
Sure.
Yeah.
Defining worldview is a habitual way of looking at the world that frames what we pay attention to and basically how the world shows up for us. There's obviously a lot more information out there than we can take in any one moment. So our worldview is really how we limit the available information so that we can make choices and get through our day.
The good stuff was when you laid out the different worldviews, and I thought that was such a revelation. Can you talk about the different worldviews, the type of people that we'll be talking to? I think it's fascinating because you see different people actually appear in front of you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's funny. This word worldview is used usually used as a sort of a big abstract thing. It's a very specific map that we have here of worldviews. And once you get to understand them, you basically start to see the codes, as it were, behind reality as everyone else sees it. And you kind of develop Jedi mind skills. And then you can really become excellent as a communicator, and your power starts to really come out once you see the simplicity behind the complexity. There are four basic worldviews that govern most of what happens in the so-called developed world, right? Mm-hmm. We have the achiever mindset, which is all about looking at life as a game that you win or lose. We have the believer mindset, which is about looking at life as a test that you're either going to pass or fail. We have the seeker mindset, which is really looking at humans as a big family and we should all get along and we're all equal. Mm-hmm. And then we have the systems innovator mindset, which is about trying to move the world forward, seeing life as a system in which, you know, everything is connected. But once you just understand even those four of the 12 available worldviews, you start to really develop kind of almost like what occurs as magical powers to people. And that's just because you understand how they think and you can communicate more effectively.
Well, that's what I loved about it. You know, when you painted this picture for me, I saw these four groups of people. The believer, I mean, these are the folks who are good, honest, Midwest Christian folk who figure that they should abstain from rewards now so that they could, enjoy their rewards in heaven. They're honest people. They're church-going people. They root for their football team. You can see this person, and they're very suspicious of people outside their own tribe. It's a very much a person that you can imagine. Then you've got people who are perhaps evolved or not evolved, because nobody evolves from one to the other, but people who are one step outside this believer group, they are the Donald Trumps of the world, the achievers, and they say, you know, why should I wait for my reward in heaven when I can get it now? They game the system. They're people who think that that their whole thing is seeing the world more clearly than other people do, and therefore reaping the rewards. And I go, wow, I can actually see this guy. Then these people have, a lot of times, like the Donald, they say money is its reward, is the big end game, and they have children, and their children are going, Dad, I see what all this money has done to you, and I don't like it, and they become sort of the humanists, the hippie generation, and they go, you know what, we should just be throwing our arms around the world. It's not about the money, but as you mentioned in the book, these people have their own problems. They tend to be kind of absolutist too in their humanity. If the whole throwing your arms around the world doesn't work out, they can't quite understand it. Makes them kind of frustrated. And then you move on. You mentioned, Barack Obama was someone like the systems thinker. Some people who see that money is part of the game, that throwing your arms around the world is part of the game, but that everything is interconnected. And it was wild, because I could actually see these people appear, and it changed the way that I approached people.
For me, it's really about trying to make sense of the world. I mean, I've had some great results helping people achieve success, even with you and your book, mm-hmm. by breaking free of limiting assumptions that tend to, operate in the backdrop of our mind, and they keep us from really accessing our power and getting clarity, right? But for me personally, it's really just been about trying to make sense of the world simply, mm-hmm. right? It's my life's work, really, just to try to make sense of the world honestly. And it turns out that about 99% of what we're taught growing up isn't actually true.
Yeah,
so we
and it limits
to,
us, right?
So I had to find a map. I had to find a map that would work. You know what I mean? Allow me to be successful in the world like that.
Right.
And I did.
Right. Now, you weren't satisfied with the whole idea of the archetypes, the different types of people, and you kept pushing forward, and out of that came the voice code. Explain the voice code to us, and try not to be a professor here, all right? Because I've talked to you a bunch, and it's blown my doors off. Explain it to me, because it's actually a fairly simple idea.
Yeah, it's an inherently mind-blowing idea. But mm-hmm. basically, the simple truth is, I looked at these worldviews, the map that had been laid out, and it was laid out by someone other than me originally. Claire Graves came up with 8 levels of thinking that I turned into worldviews. Well, I found the code. These are naturally occurring things, right? So I found a code that helped me understand the natural laws that were driving this process. So when a believer turns into an achiever, turns into, right, the hippie, as you called him, right, mm-hmm. this is all being governed by natural laws that bind everybody at an unconscious level. Mm-hmm. That may sound crazy, but it's just true. So think of gravity, right? If we throw a football, it goes up and then it falls down again, right? There's natural mm-hmm. laws that are governing that process. So too with the evolution of human thinking. When I was able to find the simple code that was beneath those worldviews, and by the way, collected a lot of psychometric data, mm-hmm. Had the worldview assessment translated into about 8 different languages, got a bunch of data, and found the simple code. And that allowed me to get absolute clarity, not only over these different types of thinkers, but over why they think that way and how all of these different types relate together as part of a whole. Very interesting stuff. And boy, did it open up a whole nother level of insight.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you talked about the one day when you were sitting in Starbucks and, you had this big breakthrough. And I remember we spoke on the phone shortly after that. And you're like, oh my God, I discovered it. Tell me about that day.
Oh, there's been a lot of insights along the path here. The challenge for me after discovering the voice code was to make it accessible mm-hmm. to everyday people. Now, that ended up taking about 3 years because the real bridge I had to draw was between inner and outer, mm-hmm. right? So after a lifetime, literally 20 years doing research, trying to get to the point where I could have clarity, the voice code emerged. And that came from studying the world as a scientist. I ran my first research project was in 1993. I was looking at social perception and empathy. 1999, while I was in grad school, I was looking at what they call schemas, trying to understand social perception again. It was all about social perception, and then I went out into the world of work, and by the time I met you, I'd already been at it for a long time, but it was always about the world out there, understanding mm-hmm. it. When I finally cracked the simple code to understand the world out there, what I ended up doing was figuring out that the world out there happens in here. Mm-hmm. So I figured out the basic code of how my own mind was working. Okay. Mm-hmm. So inner and outer ended up becoming part of the same thing. Now this is a paradox, and that's why the voice code is so mind blowing, because it turns out this is true for everyone listening, whether or not it sounds, unfathomable, the simple truth is that the world out there happens in here. Right. Yeah. So anybody who's listening right now, making sense of me, that making sense part is happening within them, right? Yeah. So the map is one, and so that's why it's mind-blowing. Of course, it's very practical to understand that today, because what we find is that life gets real simple when we get that, because all we have to do is follow our voice. And when we do that, we start to create the future and create a world out there that we really like by simply honoring our instinctual knowing. So it gets real simple. Now, I've had a lot of breakthroughs along the way to try to make that simple truth accessible. And that was the hard part. So I had to create tools and figure out the skills that people could learn so that they could master this mindset. But understand that this is just the same mindset that Steve Jobs used to, to create Apple and into this world-changing company from an idea in his mind. It's the same mindset that Martin Luther King Jr. used to bring his dream to us, and so that we could recognize it was also our own dream. It's the same mindset that anybody who's lived a great life has mastered. But until now, we didn't have a map so that everyday people could use it also. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that totally makes sense. Now, it also seems like a concept whose time has come, because we are living in a more and more distracted age when, we are focusing less and less on our inner game, because there are so many stimuli on the outside. And the question is, how are we going to find the time for this sort of navel gazing, to use the bad word for it? But how are we going to find the time? Because we have to answer that Facebook post, and that, my text messages just went off again, and I have 25 meetings scheduled for today, and I'm no longer a full-time employee. I'm now jumping from gig to gig, and life is complicated and it's all happening to me. How am I going to find the time to make my own inner voice dictate how I live my life?
It's a great question. And the simple answer I give is we have to shift thinking. Because at this new level, now at one level, we're a victim of time, right? Time's speeding up and we've got less time and we've got to do this. And, oh God, now I have to look at my navel now. Right?
Right. Yeah.
I would like to offer one really helpful phrase that anybody in the audience can use right away if you find yourself in that situation. Who is that? Just ask that. And what you want to do is ask that to that inner voice in you that tells you that you don't have enough time, enough money, enough freedom inside mm-hmm. to actually look inside. Because guess what? Who is it that created the habit patterns that have us now feel lacking time? That happened in us. We have set basically programs up to where we feel we don't have enough time. And as long as we believe in those programs, right? As long mm-hmm. as we fail to question the legitimacy of those thoughts in our own mind, they're going to remain true and perpetuate indefinitely. That creates a condition that I believe is the real problem of our times. I call it frame lock. Frame lock is being locked in a limited frame of reference based on the past. Mm-hmm. Frame lock is the problem, as I see it, beneath all problems. When the miracles that I help people create for themselves, like, and I use the word miracle, it's also scientific, but like your book breakthrough, you were just frame locked, right?
Yeah.
All I did was come in and help you break frame lock, and you wrote this book that you've been struggling for a while. You wrote it like quick. I was mad at you because I didn't finish my book for another year after that.
Well, you know, I remember from my side of the table, very few people know how it actually came about, but I was sitting there and I wanted to write a business book because everybody said, Mark, you got to write a business book. You're doing all these great speeches. Where's the book? You need a book. And so I sat down and I said, I'm going to write a book, and it's going to be one of those smart business books like you get at the airport, you know, how to get taller in three easy steps. And when I sat down to write the table of contents, which is what you got to crack first, because that sort of is the framework, I discovered that I wasn't smart. And so I didn't have three easy steps to anything. I didn't have a patented process. I didn't, nothing. All I had was a collection of stories that were kind of funny, but I didn't think they were terribly important. And I remember talking to you saying, I don't have what it takes to write a book with all these charts and graphs and you know, smart thinking. And you just said, you know what? You are who you are. Write the book that you want to read. Dig deep inside yourself and just go, you know, just tell your story. Just say what you want to say. And you walked me through this. And what came out of it was essentially exactly what I wanted, which was a fun little romp through the destruction of advertising and the brave new world that's replaced it. And you're right, it did just sort of spew out in record time, and it wasn't such hard work. So yeah, I mean, if we could unlock a code that would say, you know what, you don't have to wake up screaming at 4 o'clock in the morning wondering where the next paycheck is going to come from. That's all invented inside your head. I think it'd be terribly useful to a lot of people. Now, you've had quite a few people go through your sessions to unlock their own voice code. The reception's been extremely good so far, right?
So far. And we're really just at the beginning stages. Listen, this material is powerful. It's powerful because we have unlimited creative potential trapped in our unconscious mind. Mm-hmm. But it's powerful, and for that same reason, it can be scary to people to open their mind to a new way of thinking. Right? This new world is really forcing us to all start to look inward in the practical external world. Mm-hmm. And we've never, ever been challenged to do that. In the old days, before social media, and right, and when there was sort of a ruling class who got to dictate what was true and what wasn't, all we had to do was know what to believe and who to side with, mm-hmm. right, and to get the right information. Now we're each being challenged to go inward and find our own compass, as it were, right. Because there's all bets are off. And instead of playing by the rules, we have to write the rules. And this has never happened before on a mass level. So it's kind of a little bit of it's a scary time for people to try to bridge those two worlds and to feel like they have to do that on their own. So, you know, I'm being careful to try to bring this to the world in a way where it feels safe. But the truth is, you know, so I'm not in a rush to shove this down everyone's throats, but I want to make sure that everybody has a map available to them when they're ready to have that kind of conversation. Does that make sense?
That makes total sense. And, you know, on a bigger level, what I always talk about is that, you know, we're moving from a generation of consumers where to get our opinions, all we had to do was watch TV because the brands had decided for us what our point of view should be, to becoming a generation of makers. We're out there creating our own content. We're out there evaluating brands on our own. The value of advertising is going way down because we're not buying it anymore. Instead, we're looking to social media and other people who are sounding off on a product and adding our own opinion to that product. And so, you know, it counts on us actually having an opinion, as opposed to just buying an opinion, you know? And I think that it's a very, very valid thinking. Now, going into brands, is there anything in the voice code for brand stewards? Because I said it's a very, I always say it's a very confusing time for brand stewards because people aren't buying a cute little animation as the brand. They're not buying Tony the Tiger anymore. They're buying the people who created this, like, you know, Yvonne Chouinard at Patagonia. This is a really cool guy, and that's why they're buying Patagonia. Or Steve Jobs at Apple, they're buying the vision of Steve Jobs. As a brand steward, I imagine the voice code would be pretty darn valuable too.
Oh, man. And again, understand that the voice code emerged out of me doing field work with some of the world's biggest brands. With this, I mean, it came for, ultimately that's where my real world, a lot of that experience came from, is working in that world. And the capacity to discern the core essence, because that's what a brand is, right? The essence of something. Right. And that could include an audience. We want to understand an audience. We want to communicate to them. We want to give them information in a way that lights them up the way Steve Jobs could or Virgin, right? Their brands. Like, how does that happen? Well, so for branders, this is an awesome framework, because it's impossible to create shared vision if we're frame locked. Does that make sense?
Oh, that totally makes sense.
So I see our primary job, if we want to be a visionary communicator, someone who cuts through the noise and awakens people to new possibilities, we have to be able to access them at the level of their inner voice. Otherwise, they're going to tune us out because they're frame locked. So if we're frame locked, we won't know the right audiences to reach out to or what to say to them. And if they're frame locked, they're not going to hear us. So we need to get, as I understand it, a deeper, we need to understand these invisible barriers to communication to engagement.
Now, hold on, stop right there, because that's a bridge too far for me. You're blowing my mind again. You always do that. I am creating a brand, and I understand my own sort of my own blockers, and I'm trying to work through those things and figure out how I can connect with people on a more authentic level. But how the heck am I going to get the people who are listening to me to understand what's blocking them? Can I communicate that? Is it even possible?
No, you don't need to communicate that. Your only job is to choose your voice. When you operate from a state of voice alignment as a compared to frame lock, and understand, people, this is the only choice as I frame it, okay? Mm-hmm. The real choice that matters is whether we listen to the inner guidance of our beliefs, which, those old tapes from the past, mm-hmm. which I call the shadow, but I mean, self-concept and, not enough and whatever, or whether we follow our voice. Because when we operate using our inner voice, we naturally are engaging. People see themselves within us. It's not about trying to manipulate people or even convince them of anything. It's about being authentic. And we're not authentic unless we choose to operate from our inner voice. That's why you wrote your book in 3 weeks after I talked to you. All I did was help you remember that you are smart. So the belief, for example, maybe I'm not smart enough to write a book. Let's say that got in there in grade school. It wasn't true, but let's say that was in there. If you believe that, you could never write a book, right?
Right.
So I helped you go, who is that, to whatever that was, right?
Right.
And in that moment, you recognize that you're freaking brilliant in your own way, and you wrote a book in two, three weeks, right?
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. It's not, you weren't, what I got you out of was that traditional marketer mindset. You get it? You're worrying about what the audience is going
to
think.
Well, I was thinking, I have to be an expert. I have to be a smart guy. And I have to be one of those guys who writes those business books that everybody buys, but nobody reads. And then I just go, I realized I hate those books and I'm not smart enough to write one. And then I just gave up. And then I talked to you and you go, you don't have to be that guy. You're not that guy. That's not why people talk to you. And I thought that was such a breath of fresh air, and took another look at it. It worked beautifully. Now, the voice code, you just had a great webinar on it, and you broke it down into simple bite-sized chunks. I've read through part of it, what I ran into was, oh man, this is heavy lifting. But it seemed to me to be more like a textbook of almost like getting fit, where you don't want to jump right to the last stage of your fitness program because it's going to kill you. What you want to do is take it piece by piece. And you've actually constructed this so I can work through all the levels one by one and then move to the next. Tell us a little bit about all the different stages.
Well, you know, textbook sounds so
It's not a textbook. It's like a fitness guide.
It's a dragon slaying journey. Literally, it's the world's first dragon slaying journey for change makers, you know, and visionaries.
Yeah.
It literally takes you on a dragon slaying journey where you go through the different, you know, voices that come into your head that keep you from aligning with your true voice. And it's really fascinating. This is the most fun you could possibly have. This is not work. We're learning how to have fun again.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Like, the only reason that people aren't having fun now is because they're frame-locked, right, by these voices in their head that aren't true. You want to know why you, you know, wrote the book? It's because I got you to have fun. You were sitting here talking in that conversation just to use this as a stepping stone because it's a metaphor for what everybody's going through,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, I saw you in a moment we were talking stand with conviction for an idea, and that idea was that brands are people.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, I helped you realize that a brand is not a big, you know, the machine. It's like what you really care about, Mark Stoiber, is people. You care about people, and you realize that you know, that brought you to life, right?
Yeah, it made things really fun, and it seemed easy. And that because it was easy, it seemed like it was fluffy and lightweight, you know, and that was what scared me away from it.
Right. So what I'm getting at, though, is like whatever that idea is that you really care about that mm-hmm. brings you to life, it makes all those stupid frame lock voices go away. They just melt away and your genius emerges. You get that?
Yeah.
The voice code book I put together is a journey where we slay those stupid frame lock voices forever. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how much fun is that? Does that make sense?
Well, but you know what?
If you try to read my book without letting go of those voices, it's like a struggle. It's like trying to drive with the emergency brake on.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it's like. That's exactly what it's like. You're just like, oh, I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to get anything from this. And suddenly you're going, I don't understand this. You know, it's the first thing you jump to. It sounds like, you know, you've got your grandpa on the sofa and saying, Dad, I'm listening to rock, or Grandpa, I'm listening to rock and roll. And he goes, oh, all that, nothing happened after Benny Goodman. And that's what it's like. So there, you can use that. That one's fun. Free.
That is fun. That is great. That
yeah,
is great.
It's like
listen. But I think it's important, guys, that we have fun. I think it's important that we remember the practical value of fun. You know, and no great journey. What great would you go to see a movie where the hero didn't battle dragons and have some challenges? That's no fun.
Well,
we have
it's
to,
worthwhile, right? Everything worthwhile takes a bit of work. And what I like about it is that as you go from one stage to the next and you recognize these blockers in yourself and you address them, you start to get a bit of clarity. And what happened to me is that I started to calm down and that I started to focus and I started to be less distracted by the stuff around me because I was listening inside as opposed to taking my cues from outside. And I thought that was super helpful.
That's great. Well, and what happens, listen, this stuff is supposed to be confusing. It's, mm-hmm. The world is confused in the models that we've been working from. I hate to break the news, but they're not real. You understand? So we're going through we need to put some perspective here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The world, as we understood it, you know, for most of our lives, all that stuff is dissolving now,
mm-hmm.
and a much more awesome world is being born. So we're kind of in a transitional period where the old maps don't work, and the world, there's not yet been a new map that is clear enough that everybody can get on board because everybody gets frame locked by their ideologies and their beliefs, right?
Mm-hmm.
So everyone's polarized. And so the only, you know, everybody's confused right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the only map we have, so we're being shifting to this inside out mindset. The mindset that used to be just for visionaries and these game changers, we're now moving into a world where everybody's being challenged to think that way, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is awesome for those of us who are willing to shift thinking because we realize life gets real simple. What you just talked about right there, you got it. It's really that simple. But my job is to go into the cave of complexity and help people free themselves from it. Does that make sense? I have to straddle both worlds. And really, so do you, and so does anybody who wants to lead in these times. Our job is to help people out of the confusion and chaos and show them something simple, beautiful, and fun that they could do.
You know, right? It's funny. I look at brands like Nike, and they have actually embraced the idea that it's not about inadequacy marketing, where I am telling you that you're stinky, and if you wear my deodorant, that you're gonna be more popular. Which, you know, is that monster of anxiety that the advertisers used to hold out. What Nike is doing now is saying, you know what, you've got this greatness inside of you. If you discover it, and when you discover it, we're going to be right there alongside you. And we already know that there's something good inside you. And I think, you know, brand talk like that makes us examine what's holding us back. And I think it does it in a really good way. In a way, I think they've almost, you know, they've intuitively understood what you're getting at.
It is. It really, it's the spirit of our times, you know, the zeitgeist. Mm-hmm. And, you know, part of the zeitgeist is that in the old days, and I was a real victim of this. I mean, listen, I might seem like I really know what I'm talking about or whatever, or at least I'm comfortable with myself now. If either of those are true, I'd like to think they are, but they weren't for most of my life. Mm-hmm. You know, the voice code helped me see truth in a way that felt, for the first time, objective and not just, you know, framelocked for me. You know, I really felt conviction for the first time ever. For most of my life, I was trying to fit in, and I was trying to be, you know, admired and respected according to conventional frameworks. I know what that's like. And the truth is, we're taught from a very young age to try to conform, to fit in, and to succeed according to the metrics the world hands us. But now those metrics are sort of all breaking down, and it's a very awkward time then, you know. So how then do we operate in a world when there's no clear up or down, right?
Yeah.
That's the challenge that we're all now facing. Leaders are ones who let their freak flag fly. Part of this is really standing for your weird,
yeah,
right? And in owning that, it's awesome. Your weird is the awesome thing about you, because when you do that, you give other people license to do the same. Right.
Exactly. It catches. It's infectious. You know. It is a positive infection.
But nobody can give us permission to be our awesomely weird self except for us. Right.
Yeah.
We have to have what I call an internal authority frame, and that's in terms of the voice code science. That's the chief thing that's happening today. I understand it goes to, I don't want to get too in the weeds, but I understand, guys, there's a very clear map of all this now. That's what the voice code is. There's only three principles that are governing it all: authority, resonance, and trust.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And what's happening today is that our world is reframing authority, which I define as the creative power. It's really simple: the power to create or cause something.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to have what I called an external authority frame. So we are an effect of the world, and, you know, so we try to have authority within the world's terms. What's happening now, and this is happening according to natural laws, guys, it's like pretty simple. Like, we're learning that authority is internal.
Mm-hmm.
Simple. We're learning that have an internal authority frame. The power to create or cause an effect exists within us. It's now time where we're all learning that at the same time. But part of what that means is realizing that we've been giving our power away for our entire lives. And that's a bit of a rude awakening at first. But boy, what an awesome lesson to wake up one day and realize that you have the power.
You know what? You know what it reminds me of is when Steve Jobs said, when you realize that everything that you see out there was created by other people who were no smarter than you, it's a very liberating thought. And that's what it is. You know, you think, I could never do that. I could never. But that's an authority framework saying, I'm not smart enough. Somebody else who has to be smarter has to do it. At the same time, it's terrifying because you go, well, I better listen to my inner voice. I better not just keep shutting it out. Otherwise, it'll be a life half lived. But it's very liberating.
That's totally right. And Steve Jobs is like a, I mean, I want to hug that guy. When I look back and I had to try to make the voice code accessible, I was looking for quotes, obviously, and he was like a poster child,
yeah,
for the voice code. I mean, stay young, stay foolish, right? Mm-hmm. Like, this guy got the inside out mindset. That's why he achieved the, you know, the quote impossible. I just want to make it clear here, like, anyone who thinks like it follows their voice is a force, becomes a force of nature. You cannot fail when you follow your voice.
Yeah.
You can't fail because it's tattooed, it's into these natural laws govern everything. So how did Gandhi, for example, right? You liberate India, one guy. he became a force of nature by following his voice and becoming one with it and saying, who is that? Get out of my head, to any other voice. And he didn't even use violence or anything. I'm telling you that everyone has that power, and the only barrier is belief.
Wow, that's awesome, awesome, positive news. Now, where can people dial this up? Obviously, your website, Worldview Thinking, but the book, where's the book?
Right now, the book is in a safe here in Worldview Thinking headquarters. We just got it edited, and, and I'm not putting it out just yet. What, honestly, I'm sure you can tell just from listening, this stuff is so powerful. Mm-hmm. I really want to make sure that I put the stops in, that that people feel safe when I put it out into the world. There's obviously tools, and I, you know, it's like nuclear energy. So I'm probably going to hold off for a month or two to put it out there as we continue to do our webinar series and let it out into small bits. But the webinar, and like the, you came to the other day, I highly recommend the Create Anything webinars that we're doing. Highly recommend people check those out. You know, people, if you want to keep in touch with this as it unfolds, right now my YouTube channel, John Marshall Roberts, we're releasing all kinds of good stuff there, like educational stuff. And then the blog on worldviewthinking.com had some articles. And what you can do is start soaking in these ideas. See, this stuff, we don't have to try. We just have to put the ideas in there. And it's kind of like cobbler's elves. He would go to sleep and he'd wake up with shoes there.
Yeah.
Remember that whole myth?
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Well, your voice is like that cobbler. What you'll find is that you just let these ideas in and they'll start working on you. And it's so much fun because your voice will send you an idea and you go, oh, here, this is like that thing. And things will just start making sense. What I don't want to do is have people start to beat up on themselves using these ideas. I want to make them, I don't want those voices of the past to ruin the voice code. Does that make sense?
That totally. Well, I mean, it's evolution versus revolution. It's taken us a lifetime to get to these to this frame lock. And if you try to tear it all down at once by, you know, for example, reading the entire book, you're just going to go, oh my God, that's way too much. But if you take it as an evolution, a natural progression in bite-sized chunks, it's easier to digest. It makes it a lot more fun. It gives you time to watch your progress. Yeah, no, I fully understand that. So
and there's a learning curve here for all of us. I mean, the way I see it, we're learning together. So I obviously am coming back from a very interesting journey, and I'm getting my feet on the ground again with a paradigm that's mind-blowing. But it's not scary in the least. What's scary, really, is living in the world without a map, you know, when you're still trapped in belief. That's the way I see it. So for me, though, being a free thinker as I've been, it's like learning to be kind and gentle, and the way that I bring these ideas to people. I'll probably be learning that for another 20, 30 years. And I'm grateful to have you around to help me keep learning. Does that make, that's the attitude that I have now. But I want to make this available because it's so awesome. So we're doing these webinar series. We're doing these trek and slaying adventures. I'm releasing blogs. And my book will probably be available by the middle of November when I've figured out the best way to put it out there so that people hold it in this fun, playful attitude as opposed to using it as another way to beat up on themselves. But the truth is that the future's wide open for anybody who's willing to learn how their voice speaks to them so they can remove the barriers to their own greatness. And the voice code makes that accessible through a few simple skills that anybody can learn.
Awesome. John, thank you so much for taking the time. I know you're on a busy schedule. You're going crazy with all the speaking and with the webinars and pushing these ideas out there and counseling people. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Of course. Thanks for having me. I had a lot of fun.
All right, man. Talk to you soon.
Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Didn't See It Coming, the podcast about brands that learn from the past, are looking to the future, and are profiting because of it today. I'm your host, Mark Stoiber. If you want to get a hold of me, drop me an email at mark@markstoiber.com. markstoiber.com. Have a good one.